How nice it is it to be in the house of the Lord. I'm really, really excited. We've been blessed to have a man of God that really came and blessed us just a few weeks ago. And by the way, for your information, he missed something happened. He couldn't leave last week. They booked a plane going through London, and the person who booked up the flight didn't know that they had to have a visa to go through London, and it was just a big disappointment. So the man of God was just somewhere praying. He said he just wanted to, you know, get some time and pray. I'd ask him to come over here, but he said, I already told the people bye-bye, so what would they think? But I told them, you know, Empowerment Christian Center, we don't judge people. We know things happen. But anyway, they were able to book a flight, and he will be leaving, I think, on Wednesday. Amen? Praise the Lord. There's something that the Lord has been speaking to me about spiritual warfare, and it's amazing that the Lord put this burden to study about spiritual warfare and to engage ourselves as a church in spiritual warfare even before Pastor Fred Nyongesa came to us. And it was just an amazing thing how the Lord sometimes would connect us to things that we need to learn and prepare us in advance. So that we can learn some of the things. I'd like for you to know that you're very, very special before the Lord. And no matter how anybody has ever told you in your life, and sometimes, you know, things may go wrong. Sometimes as people, we involve ourselves with so many things, even being without being, you know, in foolishness. And sometimes, you know, we do them and we're able to look back and we say, was that me who was able to do that? But I want you to know that in spite of the things that you have ever done in your life, that it is okay. You know that the Lord accepts you the way you are. Amen? Very, very important for us to know that we are the precious of the Lord and that we are the redeemed of the Lord, particularly to those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The Bible tells me that not even death, not even fire, not nothing, not even the cares of this world can separate us from the love of God. So I want you to know very clearly, even as we usher ourselves into this the spiritual warfare series that I'm just about to begin here, that you are very, very important. You are very, very special before the Lord. Amen? And there are certain things that we are going to delineate ourselves from, you know, certain beliefs that we may disconnect ourselves from. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will come and nudge each and every one of us so that we may understand what the Spirit is speaking to us, particularly in these days when the Lord is just about to return. Amen? I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and tell them that the Lord loves you. Amen? If you mean it, just look at the person sitting next to you. Tell them, really? Surely, if you didn't know, the Lord really loves you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to turn our Bibles into the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, verse number 10 to 18. And I know our precious sister Lorraine always, you know, puts it on there. It's already there, actually. 10 to 18. If you can go there, Sister Lorraine. It's a good habit to come to the church with your Bible. So if you didn't have your Bible, let me see how many of you have their Bibles. Can you wave your Bible to me? Okay, let me repeat this because some of you maybe never heard this. No, I said your Bible. I said you are. Your personal Bible. You are singular. Lift up your Bible. Wave it to the Lord. Thank you so much. Now, I don't want to condemn those who didn't come. Sister Lorraine is going to be there for you today. So you can check on the screen, but it is a good habit to carry your sword. Amen? Your sword, it is a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord. Okay, this is what the Bible says. It says this, finally, be strong in the Lord. I'm reading from what I have here on my Bible here. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. 14. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish, somebody say extinguish. Extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And verse number 18, the Bible says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, and be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Can somebody say amen? Okay, I would like you also to turn to the second book of Corinthians, chapter number 10, verse number 3 to 6. Let us read that, because we're going to be jumping back and forth between these two scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 3 to 6. If you have it, can you say amen? If you don't have it, can you say wait for me? All right. If you don't have your Bible, I know it is already there. This is what the Bible says. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power. Somebody say divine power. To demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought. My goodness. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Praise be to Jesus. Father, as we dissect these scriptures, Lord, whatever we are going to speak today, Lord, let me be under the influence of your power. Father, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God will take over my voice. And I pray that I will no longer speak as a person, Father, but you shall use my voice to communicate to us. We are before your presence, Father. What you lay in my spirit and what you've instructed me, Lord, about the spiritual warfare, let it be known to us, Lord, so that we might be prepared for the battle. And I thank you, Father. I take captive every mind right now. The devil might be on assignment to come and distract people and sway them back and forth, take them to places in their mind. I pray that shall not happen in this place. But we shall be focused on you this morning in the name of Jesus. Devil, listen, you have no place in this house. This is the house of our Father. And we have come to worship him. And you have no right, you have nothing to hold on even in our lives, because we 100% belong to God. I give you glory and I give you honor, Lord. Take over this meeting. Take over this session in Jesus' name. Somebody who loves him, shout a big amen. Amen. Now, I know the last few weeks we've been talking about spiritual warfare, and I remember very well back in Africa, where there was a preacher who always, you know, every time he would speak, he would begin by binding demons and casting out demons, and you know, once a person said, why always this person speaks about, you know, about the devil, how bad the devil is? But you know what? If there was a time we need to speak against the devil, it is now. Because whether you do not know it, and I've told you this before, I read a small book, tiny book, from one person who he was in the Olcott, and he was a Nigerian man. And most of you, maybe some of you, maybe who are maybe, you know, young back in Kenya, I know some of you maybe not really remember, but there was a preacher known as Emmanuel Eni. How many of you can remember them? Now, that, you know, there was a statement that I read that has always remained with me. And this is what Immanuel Eni said. He said this, that whether you know it, whether you do not know it, you as a believer, you are constantly engaged in a spiritual warfare. Amen? You are constantly engaged in a spiritual warfare. And whether you know it, and whether you do not know it, you need to be aware that that happens. It is even happening right now. Now, I want you to be very focused. We are going to go very slowly, and we are going to end up at one. Praise the Lord. That's my goal. Now, I grew up in a military training camp back in Lanette. And I know there are some of us, you know, like Makaranja and Muruti, you know, they were in the army in those days. But I grew up, you know, as a young boy, I grew up in the, you know, next to the barracks. Actually, we used to go there for, I was a Catholic, and we used to go actually, you know, our church was in the barracks. And so every Sunday we would go there, I grew up in that environment, you know. And where our home was not very far from, you know, from where they were. So everything that was happening in the camp, we used to hear. I was used to, you know, gunshots because they were practicing how to shoot. And I was used to seeing some infrared, I think it was, I don't know whether it was infrared fires at night, and the sky would just brighten up sometimes, and there were signals. Mamuruti is laughing because she already knows what that was. I don't know what it was. And sometimes we used to get some gear from the army. In fact, there were some young men, I remember right now, there were some shoes they used to call Kavunja. I don't know, some of you remember, you know, Kavunja. It used to be a steel toe shoe. And anybody who used to get a Kavunja used to be feared, because if somebody hit you on the ankle with that Kavunja, Pastor, it was not very pleasant feeling on the leg. And so I grew up with this, and I had the mentality out. The army would come at 5 in the morning, or sometimes even earlier. I would hear them say, it was like a mighty river, because there were many people running, and they were coordinated, you know. And let me tell you, for the first time, I really never wanted to join the army, because I really was scared because of the things that they underwent through the training. And I also had an opportunity to go. They would train for about 6 months, and they would go there, and the president would come, and they would just, you know, kind of conduct a ceremony to consecrate them, or whatever they called it, and they would march in uniform, and they were used to, you know, it used to be wonderful. And so every time I hear about spiritual warfare, I cannot help it but remember those days, the guns that I used to shoot at night, you know, people practicing. And you're also very blessed even to know, to be in the experience of war. America has been in war for the last almost 10 years. Most of you know what war can do. There are so many people that have been injured through the conflicts between America in Iraq and in Afghanistan. You already know that, right? Actually, I read an article here, just a statement. This is what it says. It is a project based at Brown University, and it was titled The Cost of War. This is what they write down here. They say, it is estimated that the total monetary cost, including long-term veteran care, you know, for the people, for the army officers who have been in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Pakistan, may eventually total to as much as $4 trillion. Now, that is a lot of money. Now, why am I telling you all these things? It's to prepare your mind about what you're just about to speak for. War is not good. These are some conflicts that countries or nations engage with that end up becoming so costly, like we've just seen. The conflict between America and trying to fight terrorism, it has cost $4 trillion. We are talking of about quite a good chunk of the deficit that America right now has, right? And that was all incurred within a period of 10 years, $4 trillion that's going to come. Now, there are some conflicts that are necessary, and there are some conflicts that are not necessary. The conflict that we personally know and we have seen countries engage in sometimes are not really necessary. But there are sometimes when it is necessary, especially when people have been caught up and they need to be delivered, or their hostages have been taken, like the conflicts. You remember there was a conflict, was it in Somalia or in Israel, whereby they came and one time they came and, you know, came and took over the hostages from a country that had besieged some of their soldiers. There are some conflicts that are necessary, but there are some that are not necessary. But in all those conflicts, war will bring casualties. That's one thing that you have to know. If you have a member in the military, it is very, very important. I know we have some of us who have members of their family in the military, and I know how you pray for them. It is God who protects them. Amen. And when I think about conflicts, we cannot just we can see the parallel that is in the spirit, that we as children of God, we who are blood bought, we are constantly engaged in a spiritual warfare. Now, the spiritual warfare that we are engaged in is necessary in order for us to achieve God's purposes here on earth. Now, I don't want to go back to the history, why we are engaged in a spiritual warfare, but you know why we are engaged in a spiritual warfare. There was the devil, who was an angel in heaven, and he disobeyed God, and he, you know, blasphemed God, and he was thrown out of heaven, and he was thrown here on earth, and he set up principalities, he set up authorities here on earth. And from that time, that we read from the Bible that the mission of the devil is threefold. Since he was discarded from heaven, I want you to know, if you didn't know, and if you're not aware, every single working moment of your life, you need to know that there is an adversary, and his mission is threefold. The enemy's mission is to steal you. And once he steals you, he wants to do what? To kill you. Right? He wants to kill you. And after he kills you, to destroy you. Now, there's something that is very, very important that we need to understand. The enemy is never interested with the people who belong to him. When he was discarded from heaven, he was discarded with some angels who joined his band. Yes, sir. Okay, what do you want to say? You want to say something? Huh? Do you want to say something? Say Jesus.
Jesus.
I love you.
Love you.
Okay, go to Sunday school now. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't want you to be distracted. When the devil put himself in the same position with God, he said, hey, there are some angels who wanted to team up with him. And when God realized what was happening, he had to throw them out of heaven. I'm really wanting to cut a long story short. And those are the angels who came down here on earth with him are the same angels or demons, the same angels who are angels, they were converted to demons, you know? And they set up principalities and authorities. And his aim, God sent out a judgment and prepared a hell of fire. Just want to preface it because I don't want to go into the details of it. He prepared a fire because of what the devil did. And that fire is called the lake of hell. It's called hell, the lake of fire. It ignites day and night. And he said, that is your eventual destination. And so when the devil came down here on earth, he set up authorities, principalities, and he started ruling over certain region in the higher places. Praise the Lord. And his mission is not to go to the lake of fire alone. His mission is to take anybody that has been purchased by the blood of Jesus, to steal them. Somebody say steal. Steal them and kill them. And by killing them does not necessarily mean physically killing you. How many of you know that as long as you're not in Christ Jesus, you're spiritually dead, right? And when we receive Jesus Christ, then he regenerates us and we are born again. Amen? You are spiritually alive if you've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. So the second agenda of the devil is to make sure that you discard Jesus. And by you discarding Jesus, he kills you. In other words, he removes the life of the spirit that is within you, and you join his team and eventually end with him in the lake of fire. Every time, that is his mission. Every time you find conflicts between people, every time you find conflicts here and there, every time you find hatred, every time you find lying, every time you find sin, those are some of the tools that the enemy uses among people so that he can steal them and bring them to himself. Praise be to God. The second book of Corinthians, chapter number 10, verse 6 to 3 to 6, it tells us that though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. So, in other words, we live in this world, and we are human beings made out of clay, but within us, we have inestimable power and potential that God has put in us to confront the wiles of the enemy. That though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. And verse number 4 tells us that the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. So, we are not taking AK-47s, we are not taking machetes, we are not taking things that we know people take when they go to war, right? On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, okay? We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedience, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Now, listen to what John Calvin said in a statement. I read this yesterday, and it really blessed me. The life of a Christian, it is true, is a perpetual warfare. For whoever gives himself to the service of God will have no truce from Satan at any time, but will be harassed with incessant disquietude. In other words, if you're a Christian, your life will every single minute be constituted of a spiritual warfare. The devil is fighting you one way or another. Now, somewhere in the Bible it says this, that everything that has been created, everything that we are able to see with our eyes, everything that we are not able to see with your eyes was created from the spiritual realm. Are we together? The things that we can see by our own eyes one time existed in a spiritual realm that we do not have an ability to see. Okay? The things that happen in your life, the future that is going to come to you, exists somewhere in the spiritual realm, and you may not really see it. God has constituted you, and he has set the beginning to the ending when he created you. And you are never, your life never started when you came into this world. Because the Bible, why? Because the Bible teaches me and it tells me that God has predestined you before the foundations of the earth. So many, many, many years that we cannot even recall, God knew that you would be born in a certain day on planet Earth. And so God has constituted together and put together a package of your life. But that you are not able to see, you are only able to experience the life that you have experienced since you were born up to today. But tomorrow, God knows how your life is going to end up. Tomorrow, God knows who people you're going to meet with. Tomorrow, God knows how your children are going to end up. Tomorrow, God knows what clothes you're going to put on. Hello. Tomorrow, God knows how you're going to end up. He has everything on his hands. That is very, very important for us to know. And therefore, there are things that are taking place right now, even in this atmosphere. If God would open up our inner spiritual eyes to see, we can be mesmerized. There is a spiritual world out there. Praise be to God. And I know in the book of John, chapter number 4, when Jesus comes to the Samaritan woman, she tells her, a time has come, and I'm looking for people who are going to worship me in the spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Because God is spirit. None of us here has ever seen God in his physical form. But we know that God exists, right? None of us have ever seen virushi. None of us have ever seen viruses and bacteria, right? But we know they are there. They are the causes of diseases and sicknesses, right? We have faith that, you know what, I am sick because, and I have to prevent myself, I have to protect myself. And when I'm injured or when I get a flu, I try to tell somebody, please stay away from me because there are some viruses. And we speak so confidently, even though we have never seen those viruses. There is a world that exists that controls the affairs of this planet. Life is just, let me tell you, we are really, really limited as human beings because we only can see what we know and what we can see by our own eyes. But beyond that, there's so much that takes place. There's so much connections and hindrances and warfare that takes place on your behalf. And God help us throughout this session and through the time even Pastor Nyongesa came up here and through our time of prayer to see and God to open up our eyes to see that everything that we are composed of and everything that we encounter every day, the conflicts that we battle every day, is not just physical, but it is emanates from a certain kingdom called the kingdom of hell. Now, the enemy is alive and well. I don't want you to say amen. But he is alive and well. And he has a network that is taking place. Very sophisticated network. And he has designed and employed some agents to study your life as a child of God. The devil is not employed or has no other business. He is the CEO. His business and his enterprise is to make sure that he steals you, kills you, and later ends up in hell. That is his entire business. Purity, what do you do during the day? You go to SMU, you conduct your affairs. Sunday, you come to church. This lady knows that's what you tell about SMU football. She is so excited. That is all she does. That's what brings bread in her table. And on Sunday, she's ready to wake up and come and worship her God. So you might know nothing about football, about what SMU does, but she will tell you things that you do not know. That is our enterprise. Every single one of us, he has an enterprise to do. And so is our enemy. He is designing every single moment. He is designing and organizing and orchestrating and studying you. Your patterns, what is your weaknesses, so that he can attack you and so that he can allow you. See, let me tell you, church. The enemy will never come and stand you face to face. I hate you because you belong to God. No. He will never. He will never do something like that. And he will never tempt you to. He'll never lead you to a temptation whereby you will ever know that, you know what, this is the enemy. He will slowly allow you to some things that will look so nice and look so palatable and look so okay. Remember what Pastor Fred told us? Not everything that is good is right. Right? Everything, you might look at a something and it looks so good and so precious, but deep inside it has some connection with the enemy. Whether it might be an article, an element, it might be an undertaking that you want to undertake. It might be a business that you might be engaged in. It might be good in your eyes, but the end of it, if you can really seek it out, will lead you to destruction. Are you listening to me? So I wanted you to know that you are a spiritual being too. God just happened to form a body out of clay, an earthen vessel, and that is what envelops you. Your body is like an envelope. It shields the you that is spiritual. If the Bible says, in the absence of this body, means it to be in the presence of the Lord. What does that mean? It means that this body just pays host to the person called Tony. If this body drops dead, then Tony will no longer inhabit that body, but will go in the presence of the Lord. If that body leaves you, your spirit will not stay resident in that body, but that your spirit will go to be with the Father in the presence of the Lord. So you exist somewhere. The enemy is targeting the spiritual person And since it is connected with your body, he will also manipulate your body so that he can access the person within it. He will play tricks on our bodies because this body is what pays host to the Tony that is in me, the person that is speaking right now. Don't see the shell, the inner person, the me now. That causes me to serve God, that causes me to love God, that causes me to react differently. And the enemy knows sometimes, you know, since he is connected with the body, if only I can touch a section of his body that he really loves, it will have a direct connection with the spirit. And he will come so intriguingly, slowly, aiming at your spirit. The Bible says that even though we live here on the world, our warfare is not like the same of this world. We have to switch our antennas and know that there is a warfare going on in the atmosphere, in the heavenly places, fighting us. Have you ever seen people fighting each other? Or you wake up in the morning and you just hit somebody? You know? Wake up in the morning and you don't even know, just want to talk. My wife told me that one day. What's happening with you? We were talking nicely last night. And now you've woken up. You're just like, you are all grumpy. You don't want to talk. Yeah, she told me that one day. And sometimes, you know, people say you wake up from the wrong side of the bed. There's no waking on the wrong side of the bed. That's your bed. You can wake up on the front, on the foot, on the head. If you decide, you know, to come on, jump on there, on the board, that's your bed. But something about the enemy. The enemy can use me too. If the enemy used Peter, he can use you too. Yeah? You remember in the Bible days when Jesus wanted to go to the cross? Yeah? What happened? Peter told, you know, and Jesus told him, some people are just about to come and hijack me and they're just about to come and take me over. Peter said, not when I'm alive, under my dead body. Jesus said, devil, I rebuke you. You cannot hinder me to go to the cross. Do you know that sometimes the devil can use you? And you without even being aware? You wake up in the morning and you just hate sister purity. You don't even want to hear from her. You don't even want to hear her voice. Rebuke that. Thank you. You're with me, my sister. You're learning. You wake up one morning, you don't want to see your child. And you see like they are small devils, you even see some horns. He's a devil. Do you know if the devil never... By the way, the Bible says, when Jesus comes, there will be a period of millennium, a period of 1,000 years, where the devil will be arrested. And there will be peace. No one will know hatred for each other. I tell you the truth. If there are no demons in the atmosphere, if there's no devil, let me tell you, we would love one another. Because our spirits, God, see, the other, the maker, the architect of my spirit is my Father. And my Father knows no hatred. Praise be to God. You will meet somebody and you just outflow with love for them. Because my spirit was created by my Father. But as long as there's going to be the devil, he's always fighting and engineering on behind the scenes to come and tell me, look at the way he is. You know, every time, by the way, you've had that thing telling you, look at now, what does he think he is? He thinks he's so boastful. That's the voice of the enemy. It's the devil. It's the devil actually whispering to you, speaking through you. And that's why we need to be very, very alert, because there are forces that are fighting against us. Amen? We do not wage war as the world wages. The weapons that we fight with are not weapons of this. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, we want to talk about these weapons. And what are these weapons? Amen? What are the weapons that we are talking about? Now, we will go to the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. And the Bible tells us out there. And it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Paul, speaking to the Ephesians, he tells them, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. We have our strength is limited. You may try to do certain things, but you find that you're hitting a rock at a certain place. But he says, be strong in his mighty power. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. We can tackle. I want you to know that embedded within you, there is power that knows no bound, that can cast out imaginations, that can fight the wars of the enemy. Praise be to God. Now, this is what it says in verse number 11. Put all the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil schemes. Now, that tells you a lot, that the devil has schemes, right? The devil has schemes. He is scheming how to destroy you. He is scheming how to steal you. He is scheming how to eventually spend his eternity with you. And many have fallen into the trap. In fact, many, there are so many people in the world that do not even want to hear. Let me tell you, give you a short story just coming to my mind right now. You know the way I sent text to you, by the way, you know, reminding you that there's going to be a cash or something. So I sent a text to people, and there are some people who respond and say, oh, Pastor, thank you for reminding me. But this time I sent out a text, somebody replied to me. I think it was somebody's number that I had, and maybe they lost either their number or something, and then it went to somebody else. And so this guy said, this is what he replied to me. He said, who are you sending me this message? And I said, oh, what's going on now here? So I didn't reply the text. I didn't want to say, because I in the moment I thought, this one now, somebody that I don't know. So this is what I stayed, and I felt that the Holy Spirit telling me, well, see, God is my father, yeah. No, actually the person said, what is your last name? So I said, why would you last ask my legs? It's on my phone. He said, what is your last name? That's what he texted me. I said, why should I give my last phone? I mean, if it's upon somebody I know, why would they need my last name? So I said, this is what I replied. I said, well, God is my father. And if you know God, the Lord God is my father. And if you know him, that is, I bear his last name. So that's my last name. And he said, ha-ha, clever. That's how he told me. He texts back, he say, ha-ha, clever boy. So, and then he say, but you know, I'm just invited. Would you want me to be inviting you in the future for these other meetings? Because, you know, it's for your spiritual enrichment. Now I'm thinking, I'm talking to a brother. For your spiritual enrichment, or do you want me to cancel, to delete your number so I don't have to be a bother to you? And the guy stayed for 5 minutes. And at that time, my mind is going now. He is really scheming to really abuse me so hard. So I was trying to brace myself. And sure enough, the text that I got from this guy, he said, I don't want to come to your frivolous, demonic meetings. I don't know what. Oh, I said, ooh. And I seized the moment. Now I start texting like I didn't even know how my finger was going on that keypad. I told him, you know what? In the Romans 10:10 says that, you know, if you can believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he's dying. And I didn't know. By the time I wrote, in fact, my phone went to almost, you know, the optimum where you can't reach. And I was preaching to him. And I text him and I told him, I love you so much, man. And I wish you the best. May God bless you. May he keep you. May sustain you. And he wrote back and said, may God keep you too. But what I'm trying to tell you, the devil has taken so many people and deluded their minds and deceived so many. There are people, so many people who are going into hell and they do not even know it. You can even offer to say a prayer with somebody and they'll tell me you're interfering with my life. And hello, they don't know that very soon they're going to be in that lake of fire because the devil has already stolen them. He has killed them already and he wants to spend eternity with them. Now, it would be a big mistake for anybody who knows God to spend eternity with the devil. It would be a big mistake. But we have to be prepared. Okay? The devil is scheming. He says, so that you may stand against the devil's schemes. So there are schemes out there that are being connected every single moment in your life. By the way, did you know that you have an angel? Did you know that you have an angel? Now, I had a testimony that I will show you later, maybe next week, of what normally happens. Somebody who worshipped the devil, and of course, came to the Lord, and now he's revealing secrets of what happens. And he says that every single one has an angel. And I how do I know it? Because when Daniel began to pray, there was God dispatches an answer. So everybody has an angel. You have an angel sitting next to you, brother Ben. You have an angel sitting next to your sister Peter. You have an angel, Baba Moses, you have an angel. You have an angel. You have an angel. Every single one of us are an angel. Okay? And so when you pray to God to give you something, God, first of all, this is what God does. He sees the intention why you're asking for that thing. For the Bible tells us, some of us ask amiss because of your attitude. Because you're asking with a wrong motive, right?
So
God evaluates what you're asking him. And if you're asking God, I need to pay my rent. That is right, right? Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent. So God says, oh, how much you need? I don't even need to ask you. I say, how much you know? I know you. How much? I know you pay normally 875. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 5, 75. Okay, angel, rush that right now to Sister Georgina. And from that point on, because the enemy knows that if you continue enjoying victory from the Lord, you're going to depend more on him. So the devil's mission is to make sure that, you know, he disconnects you from God, because you're going to be frustrated every time you're praying and you're hitting a rock. And every time you're trying to pray, nothing comes forth. So the angel gets the 875 the moment you tell God, and he's dispatched towards you. But from that moment, warfare begins. The demons are trying to wrestle against this angel. They hold him. They hold him. And if you're waiting and you're just you're sleeping and you're not continuing to pray through for that money to come through, get what? It is not going to happen. So the devil struggles and he's being fought and he's an angushua and he's being fought. And if there are not people praying for you so that other angels can be provoked to come and help that angel so that he can get you to the answer, it is going to take a long time before you can get it. It took Daniel 21 days. Haven't you read that in the book of Daniel? If you haven't, go read the book of Daniel. Daniel prayed, and the Bible says that the first day God released his answer. And Daniel kept on praying, and he fasted, and he prayed, God, I release my answer. I want my answer to be manifested. The answer is swimming somewhere, maybe between the third heaven and the second heaven, coming towards him, but he is being wrestled and being fought. And it was eventually, he continues to fight. And by the time that angel was coming to hand over the answer, I believe he was really, really fought and wrestled, but finally he received the answer. God is not unjust. He loves us so much, and that's why he says, pray for me. It was what Jesus told, he said, spoke in his word and said, if anybody needs anything, just ask my Father, and he has everything. He is the owner of a cattle of 1,000 hills. Will he not give you? If a father is asked by his child to give him bread, does he give him what? What does the Bible say? Does he give him stones? Will not my Father give you what you ask for, particularly the Holy Spirit? So God gives you, but your angel will come. And that's why this is what this man was saying. This is what he was saying. That when they're operating in the night, sometimes they come out of their body to fight the angels that are dispatching the answers to God's people. All right? And if a Christian, he says that, this is what he says. And you see the video. This is what he says. That any prayer that you pray is like incense. The demons see those prayers like smoke. So every time, even when you're on the highway and you're praying, they are able to see. And they're able to target. They're able to use their GPS to locate where that smoke is coming from. And they begin to scheme. Have you ever prayed sometimes and you're praying like 3 minutes into the prayer and you're like, I don't know this whole thing. You slept 8 hours last night, but now you're sleepy. Have you ever read the word of God? Sometimes you get into Bible and you read, oh, I have not even checked CNN today. Yeah. I just want to see what really happened in this football. My football that I follow, I just want to see. And before you know it, you're going into Eagles and you're going into the Mavericks and you're going into the Lions and you're going into the Tortoises and there's no time. Oh, I just want to know the stats. You know, that's how it comes. I just want to know the statistics. That's all. And then I can go to John chapter number 4. That is the devil. Because he knows once you get the sword of the Spirit. Now, this is exactly, okay, I have to conclude here and then we'll continue next time. Listen. This is exactly what he was saying. That the angel, your angel, is normally clothed with the garments, with the armor of war that you are clothed with. In other words, if you have the helmet of salvation, the angel has a helmet of salvation. If you have the breastplate of faith, is that the breastplate of faith? Of righteousness, sorry. If you have the breastplate of righteousness, your angel has the breastplate of. If you have the sword of the Spirit, he also has the sword of the. If you have the belt of truth, and we are going to talk about the belt of truth in more details next time, he also has the belt of truth. Now listen. God expects us, in order for us to completely win the victory, be victorious, to be clothed in the full armor of God. Full armor. There's sometimes we want to put we have the helmet of salvation, but we don't want to put on, we say, this breastplate of righteousness in many church asana. So yeah, it's too heavy. You know, I wanna do some, there's some kalumbadika here that I really love, and you know, I wanna. No, I don't like it. So your breastplate of righteousness has been put aside. And your shoes are shouldered with the gospel of peace. Very important to share the gospel with people who do not know it. If you don't share, then you don't have anything that protects your feet. You can share the gospel by speaking, to telling people about Jesus. You can live your life in the office or wherever you are to present Jesus so people can know Jesus through the way you walk. Are you listening to me, church? Very, very important. So the things that you do not have, the angel doesn't have. And this is what happens. The areas that they see him naked, the areas that they don't see an armor, that's where they shoot to prevent him from reaching or getting your answer. Are you listening to me? So what I'm talking about is the armor of God. It's very, very important that we be clothed with the whole armor. And we shall go into detail to talk about what is the helmet of salvation? What is the shield of faith? The breastplate that we put on, that of righteousness. What is the belt of truth that protects our waist? What is the shoe that is shown with the gospel of peace? Very, very important. And we depend upon the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the one who goes to God to bring you answers. Are you listening to me? The work of the Holy Spirit is to guide you. To tell you, hey, you know what? Tomorrow, there is an assault. I can see it because the Holy Spirit knows everything. He is God. And Holy Spirit is able to know what the enemy is planning against your life tomorrow. So he tells you, Julius, today at 6, I want you to go and pray. Pray. If you don't pray tomorrow, how many of you know that you felt like something was telling you to pray? And or you told you, please do not go this way. You know, and you went and then you realize, wow. I am in trouble because I didn't even obey my instincts. You thought it was instincts? It is the Holy Spirit who was telling you this way. It might look even better. It might look good. But Holy Spirit will tell you, please, please don't go this way. Because if you go, the enemy is planning a trap for you. And once you get into it, it will be hard for you to get out of it. So the work of the Holy Spirit is to guide us and to teach us. And to teach us the precepts of the Lord. So we cannot disconnect from that. Because with our own ability, with our own minds, we are not able to see what God wants us to see properly unless the Holy Spirit guides us. Can we stand on our feet? I have to stop. Heavenly Father, I'm just delighted, Lord, even as we speak this word. Help us to understand. I may not really be the best person to communicate it the way you'd want me to communicate. But you know what? The Holy Spirit of the living God, you can take the words of my mouth and sear them the way you'd want them seared into the lives of these, your people. You spoke to me about spiritual warfare and to bring this topic. And you had to teach me how to speak to me in my private, in my private time. And you woke me in the night, Lord, and just speaking to me, Lord, and I thank you. Holy Spirit of the living God, I pray that you will continue doing so. I subject my body to the counsel of the Word of God. I pray that when the Holy Spirit will tell us to do some things, that we'll be able to know His voice. We'll not only heed His voice, but we'll obey. And when we obey, Father, we'll be able to see the goodness of our Lord. We are thankful for what you have done today. You might be here and never given your life to Jesus. The Bible says that he is knocking at the doors of your heart. If you do not harden your heart, he can come and dwell in. There are two places you can always belong. You either belong to the devil or you belong to God. If you don't have God in your life, the devil has your life. And whether you know it or you do not know it, that's a fact. I might seem like I'm threatening or sounding so arrogant while speaking it like that, but that's how it is. If Jesus has come and saved you and he has offered his blood and you have accepted him, then you are a child of God. If you are not, then you are not a child of God. And unless you believe in your heart, as the Bible says, that he died and rose again and seated on the right hand of side of the Father, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you'll be saved. Simple instructions. So you might be here and you want to decide, today is the day that I want to give my life to the Lord. Just lift up your hand. I'm going to pray with you. Is there anyone right now? Is there anyone? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father, because you're going to seal that which we spoke today, Lord. Father God, I know the word of God has an ability to explode into our minds. I pray that you shall give us the desire to go study more about this subject, Father, because this is the central part of our livelihood. Everything that we deal with, everything that we encounter, is all centered on what the devil does, but more so, it is centered on what you have spoken concerning our lives. You are more than conquerors. We cannot be defeated. In us, there is power to confront all the wiles of the enemy, the schemes of the devil, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I declare that no one in this auditorium will fail to sleep well. No one will fail to receive their answers in the name of Jesus. We sang a song this morning when it says that Satan is right under our feet. And that is where we would want him to belong, right under our feet. We shall confine him wherever we shall find it, in the name of Jesus. We shall be strong and we shall stand and know the victory of the Lord, because we are more than conquerors. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And somebody who loves him, shout a big amen. 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 God bless you. I'm going to continue next week. And pray for me. I pray for you always. Keep praying for me. And the Lord is going to bless you. Thank you.